right, today on 101.9 WDET, I'm Stephen Henderson. As always, thanks for tuning in. The success of Michigan Democrats statewide has been, of course, the big story that we follow now in politics because of what happened during last Tuesday's elections. But even beyond those races, the big races, Democrats had success staving off challenges from conservative activists in several local school board races. Only 48 of 121 candidates recommended by two major groups in Michigan that were supporting these conservative candidates won office. So for now, it seems that attacking public schools, starting arguments about books in the libraries, maybe that is not the best way to win public office. Still, these newly elected school boards are going to face challenges that were not often discussed on the campaign trail, things like school attendance. While some candidates were focused on wedge issues centering around LGBTQ protections, books in the libraries, and the so-called woke ideology that they claim is threatening classrooms, the rise of chronic absenteeism is really one of the most troubling trends in our public schools. In Michigan, hundreds of thousands of students are missing at least 18 school days every year. And these absences have harmful results, including lower grades, higher struggles in college, and increased rates of just dropping out of school altogether. But what is causing this issue in Michigan? What's maybe making it worse since the pandemic? And what can we do as a community to try to fix the issue? To discuss these issues and more, we're joined by Kobe Levin. He's a reporter for Chalkbeat Detroit. He recently wrote a piece titled "Not Present and Paying a Steep Cost: How Pandemic Recovery in Detroit and Across Michigan Hinges on Getting Kids to Class." Kobe, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so before we get into these school board elections, talk about what's going on in Detroit and across the state in terms of absenteeism.
So this is a really concerning trend that educators in Detroit in particular have been watching for kind of a long time. Just last year, two-thirds of kids in Detroit missed at least one of every 10 school days. And I think for a lot of folks, you might not be thinking that hard about attendance. You know, they're missing for doctor's appointments, for falling ill. You may say, so what? But if you look at the research, the costs here are really, really steep. And we know that a lot of kids are actually missing a lot more than that. So we're talking about students falling behind in class. We're talking about entire classrooms disrupted because some students are falling behind. The teacher now has to decide, do I work with those students? Do I work with the students who've been here the whole time? It is really, really disruptive and puts the kibosh on any effort to help students recover from the pandemic, to reform schools. You just can't have an effective school if the kids aren't there.
So what are school districts trying to do? I mean, absenteeism is a problem for administrators and teachers and the people who run the schools, but it is largely in the control of the people in the home, you know, the parents or the grandparents or whoever is in charge of the student. They're really up to them to make sure they get to school. So what can school districts actually do about this problem?
Sure. It's a great question. And I appreciate your sort of opening the lens beyond school districts. I mean, there is a lot that districts can do. As I went around reporting this piece, I asked everybody, okay, who's responsible for getting kids to school? And the most convincing answer I heard was, well, it's all of us. Parents have a role. Of course, there's things that school districts can do, and I'll jump into that. But you have to look even further. There's public health concerns. Asthma drives absenteeism in Detroit. The housing system, housing instability, homelessness, those are huge drivers. And of course, the things that we can do to improve that situation are well outside the purview of most parents and of school districts. Getting to school districts, though, let me just give you an example of a parent who, like so many in Detroit, is driving their kid to and from school. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents are not using the bus for a variety of reasons. Say this parent works a typical 9 to 5. They're able to get their kid to school in the morning, but school ends at like 3. So how do they handle the fact that their work doesn't end until well after school lets out? One solution, and it's a little counterintuitive, but if you think about it, you can have after-school care. This is something that Dr. Vitti, the Detroit District Superintendent, has talked about, something I've heard quite a bit about from researchers. If you just put a program after school to give kids a safe and nurturing place to be for a couple of hours, that really lightens the load on working parents. And it makes it a little easier for them to take their kids to school in the morning, knowing that they'll be able to pick them up safe in the evening.
Hmm. You also point out that the federal child tax credit might be the single best thing we can do, reinstating that, to help chronic absenteeism. We were just talking with State Rep Joe Tate, who's going to be Speaker of the House in Lansing. He says that they are going to take another crack at the state version of the EITC. But talk about how this idea, this whole idea of a child tax credit, affects absenteeism.
Sure. So one of the advocates I spoke to, Larry Simmons, a pastor in the city who's mm-hmm. done a lot of work on this, he said, chronic absenteeism has a systemic root. It's poverty and the consequences of poverty. When the car breaks down, that crisis, which for most people would be manageable, isn't manageable anymore for folks who are dealing with the sort of layered costs of poverty. Their social networks are stretched thin. They don't have the money maybe to fix up the car. And so those challenges add up. And often, very reasonably, a parent says, well, I need to get food on the table. I need to make sure that I have transportation. I need to make sure that I get to work. We're talking about helping your family survive, right? And attendance at school moves down the priority list. So eliminating some of those pressures, some of those stresses on families who are experiencing poverty could have a really, really positive impact on school attendance and everything good that flows from that.
Yeah. I do want to talk in the couple minutes we have left about the results from last week, the election results. Republicans ran a lot of activists who attacked public schools for teaching, quote, woke ideology and used fears over LGBTQ inclusion in their pitches. They didn't do that well at the ballot box.
Yeah, no, that's right. We saw they lost more than they won. A lot of candidates I spoke to were disappointed. They felt that they saw a red wave coming and that they would benefit from that. They sort of were thinking that the remarkable energy that you saw in some of these school board meetings, very contentious school board meetings where folks who were upset about the way schools handled the pandemic or more recently cultural issues were incredibly activated, angry in many cases. And they were thinking they would ride that wave of energy into office. It didn't happen in most districts. Their argument now is, well, we've changed the narrative and we're going to continue to draw more folks. You do see some evidence for that in places like Dearborn, where there really was a small but pretty clear and measurable shift in voter behavior. More folks broke for Dixon than Bill Schuette in 2018. Whitmer lost some votes in Dearborn, which is a site of a lot of what we could call culture wars debates over schools. But ultimately, Whitmer won Dearborn easily. Mm-hmm. So while they may have made some gains at the margins here, it seems like overall it was a rough night on Tuesday for them.
Okay. All right. Kobe Levin of Chalkbeat, always great to have you here to talk about education issues here on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, that is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk about something else. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. Detroit Today is produced by Sam Corey and Nick Austin. Our technical director and engineer is Matthew Trevethan. And Detroit Today's music is created by Sam Bobian and Will Sessions. We'll talk again tomorrow.